The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Word, little light goes on. So I've started recording. So welcome. Welcome, everybody, to Happy Hour. I hope that this hour has some little bit of happiness in it in some kind of way. Welcome for, I recognize some of these names, so some of you that have been to IMC, and perhaps there's some of you who haven't been to IMC or have been listening on Audio Dharma and are from somewhere else, and a big welcome to you. I was just talking with Nikki, and Nikki and I were saying how it's kind of thrilling for us to be able to see or sometimes meet or just get a feeling for that there's so many people, so. Thank you. And then maybe I'll start with, I want to recognize that, you know, it's not uncommon these days, right? Of course, for us to be having some, I don't know, I'll say this word, anxious feelings or some disquiet. And I just want to talk a little bit about that as a kind of lay the foundation as a prep as we go into our loving kindness meditation. So one of the first things that we can do when we're feeling some anxiety or we're feeling some fear or uneasiness is as best we can we take a breath? Can we just like settle down and take a breath and maybe even two breaths and feel our feet on the ground? That may be all we can do, and maybe even that is asking a lot. But let's see if we could start there and just recognize that that alone, that kind of movement towards taking a breath, like coming back to ourselves in that kind of way, can be really powerful and can be really helpful and supportive. And then a second step could be this gentle inquiry. Am I in immediate danger? If so, you know, you need to take care of whatever you need to do to get out of immediate danger, like right here, right now, you know, the saber-toothed tiger coming to jump on us. Of course, that's not going to happen. But, you know, sometimes we have some real fear, and it's perfectly legitimate that we're having that because there's a car that's driving too fast and we're crossing the street or something like this. And that's not so much what I want to talk about tonight, is those things that are where we are in immediate danger. Those, when that happens, often our attention gets really focused, and there's and the body knows how to act, and we often can do what needs to be done to get out of immediate danger. I want to talk more about something that's about closer to anxiety. That is when, rather than immediate danger that's happening, that we have in our minds have this idea that something terrible is about to happen or perhaps is happening. And this is due to some of the mental activity. Good example for me is sometimes when I call my mother to check in on her and she doesn't answer the phone on the first ring, right? Then with each subsequent ring, I'm thinking like, oh my goodness, is she okay? You know, hopefully she's not sick, or maybe she fell and I don't even know about it. My mom is a healthy person, so there's no reason for me to be thinking about this, but the longer the phone goes without her answering it, I can feel that my heart rate is going up a little bit. My thoughts are maybe even starting to think a little faster. There's a little urgency to them, and I'm making up all these scenarios about what's wrong with her. I'm not thinking that, oh, maybe she just went outside for a walk, or, oh, maybe she's just taking a shower, or something like that. I'm thinking things that are, not as, they're more disturbing or troubling, right, than needs to be. So we notice when this happens, we can just notice, oh, yeah, these are thoughts. And this, I'm not saying this is easy, but this can be enormously helpful to notice, okay, these are thoughts, and actually I'm right here and I'm not in immediate danger. I'm making up some ideas in my mind, but right now things are okay. And that might be enough to kind of help bring our heart rate down. Because we might discover that sometimes people say that we have this fear of the unknown, but I think what happens is when there's the unknown, like why is my mother not picking up the phone, it's not the unknown so much, it's what we think we know or what we're making up, right? That's often the most disturbing or troubling. So as best we can to remember that this is what's happening in our minds. And then can we remind ourselves, okay, I'm feeling anxious and I made up this big story. That's okay. That's what it means to be human, is to have emotions. And this is an era, this is a time in which there's a lot of stress. People are experiencing a lot of stress. The situation is unprecedented. We haven't gone through something like this before. And can we give ourselves a break? Like, okay, I'm feeling this right now. This is my experience. And just recognize it as best we can. And can we hold our experience with a type of spaciousness and with a type of kindness? And this kindness is a little bit more what I want to build on today. So it's not that spaciousness and kindness in themselves are going to fix everything, that they're going to heal everything, but they are going to allow something different to arise. They're going to allow a more settled experience. They're going to allow maybe a kinder, gentler interpretation. And when we do that, when we allow a kinder, gentler interpretation, there can be a little bit more spaciousness. When we're anxious, often our attention gets really narrow and our thoughts just go round and round and round. Instead, when there's a little bit more kindness, then it can broaden. And then we can tune into what is it that's actually going on and where am I right now? And this can help us kind of like bring the heart rate down and a little bit calming down. So the fourth step is to apply an antidote as best we can. So the antidote can be as simple as changing our physical location, going to another room, going outside, spending time in nature, or even just going outside and seeing bigger views, like seeing the bigger picture, like literally can help us in our minds see the bigger picture too, so that we get less contracted around this anxiety or the story that we're creating. And then, of course, an antidote can be loving kindness, which I'm going to talk about. So when we offer loving kindness to others or to ourselves, it's a type of generosity. It's a type of offering. And that it returns us to a stronger place within ourselves. Like this act of generosity, this movement of giving, kind of helps us tap into some of our resources that we do have to give. So it's the real shift in, for me, sometimes I feel it in my body that I'm a little bit more settled in my body. When there's this sense of when I'm being generous or having thoughts of being generous, it feels a little bit more grounded. And same with loving kindness. And of course, if we can do loving kindness, it interrupts the thought train that we may be having that's giving some of the anxiety. But maybe most importantly is for us to have why we're like meeting today is if you weren't having anxiety right now, is loving kindness, a loving kindness practice can really make it easier and more likely that we will bring kindness to ourselves and to others, that we'll bring some warm-heartedness, some goodwill, some benevolence. It'll start to become more and more of our default, and we'll have easier and easier access to it when we practice it. So when we practice, it doesn't mean that while we're doing specific loving kindness meditation, that a loving kindness will be oozing out of our pores and just going out everywhere. It doesn't necessarily mean that that will happen. This is the fascinating thing about loving kindness meditation, is it's often just the bringing back our minds to our intention to do loving kindness. It's this activity. It's bringing it back. bringing it back, that helps create a kind of like a groove we can think about in the mind. And that's where the real power can be. That creating the groove during meditation makes it easier to find that groove, quote unquote, when we need it, when we have anxiety, when we are feeling fearful, or we're unsure about ourselves, or we're beating ourselves up because we're feeling anxious or unsure or something about this. Of course, we have a whole range of emotions, and right now I'm only talking about anxiety, and loving kindness can help support us in whatever we may be encountering. I'm just offering this as one way to help us with what we're finding these days. So there's a number of ways in which we can practice loving kindness, and I'm teaching one way, and that is, I like to emphasize that there are three elements to loving kindness practice. The first is to bring somebody to mind, or a lovable being as the case may be, so it doesn't have to be a human necessarily. And I'll start with a lovable being to mind. And that means to like have a mental picture of them. Don't worry, this does not need to be high definition, clear. It's just maybe more a felt sense of them, or maybe it is particular how they are. It's whatever's easy for you. So please don't struggle with trying to get the image in just the right way. The second element is sensations in the body. There might be, not necessarily, no guarantees, but there might be a little bit sense of ease, a little bit of sense of opening, or there might be some warmth in the heart center, or some people talk about maybe a little bit of warmth in the belly, or something like this that indicates that there's a little bit of a softening, a little bit of a... That's maybe a type of letting go, or some warmth and goodwill, love, these types of things. So that's the second element, is any bodily sensations. This may be really subtle, or it may be really obvious. That anywhere in between, or it may not even be clear that it's there at all. It's all perfectly fine. It's all perfectly fine. And then the third element is that we repeat phrases to ourselves. So that is phrases that is a way that we can bring our minds back to the our intention to for loving kindness meditation. So you'll excuse me for a minute. I just wanted to check that message wasn't somebody saying, Diana, your sound has been off this whole time, or something like this. Okay. Maybe the last thing that I'll say before we begin is that to start where it's easy. And there's no reason to deviate from starting where it's easy. It's been my experience that if we start where it's easy and really get the hang of it, or the feel of loving kindness, it just naturally starts to increase and to flow out to more and more people. So, I'm going to say, let's start where it's easy. So we'll do that today. So to begin, you can take, I like to say an alert, upright posture, but also a posture that has comfort. So it might be that You want to lay down. Some people find it's helpful to lay down. And some people, have lots and lots of cushions or something like this to support them. But so in a way in which you have some ease, but you also have some alertness. And some way to support having some ease is to do a little bit of a guided meditation, a body scan. So you can just maybe check in, maybe in a big sense, like, okay, is this a good place to be sitting the way that you are right now? And then we can bring our awareness to those places in the body where we might feel some tension or some tightness. Some common places are around the eyes or around the mouth. We're just bringing our attention to these areas. Nothing in particular needs to happen. The shoulders, allowing the shoulder blades to slide down the back. You can check in with the heart center, just sort of the chest in general. Maybe there can be this tiny little movement where the heart opens a little bit, or maybe just a slight movement where the chest moves back. Maybe it's not even perceptible to others. The belly. Allow the belly to relax. Can you feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion or whatever it is that you're sitting against and feel grounded, feel supported? Bring attention to the body, to the legs. And the feet. Another place you can feel connected, grounded. And then to support us in settling, can rest our awareness on the sensations of breathing. That is the movement of the abdomen, movement of the chest, maybe the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. And we'll just hang out here for a little bit, doing mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. Again, nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just noticing the sensations of breathing. Allowing the body and the mind to settle. If you find your mind lost in thought, it doesn't have to be a problem. Just very gently, simply begin again with the sensations of breathing. What does it feel like from the inside to have an in-breath? How is that different than an out-breath? So this practice, just hanging out with the sensations of breathing, mindfulness of breathing, you can always come back to this practice. This can be a refuge. It can be a place to land if you, for whatever reason, feel overwhelmed or a little bit lost and confused, or you can always return to this, just mindfulness of breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being. That is somebody or some being for whom it's easy to feel love, care, warmth, goodwill, benevolence, respect. Choose any of those words. A few of those words that resonate with you. Choose somebody for whom there's like a type of inner smile when you think of them, when you bring them to mind. The trick to choosing, I don't know if it's a trick so much as maybe a guideline for choosing a lovable being, is it should be simple and not complicated. And if it ever feels like it's too complicated, see if you can simplify. Don't worry about finding the exact perfect person. Just start with whatever first comes to mind. And I use this expression, lovable being, because some people like to use kittens, puppies, or babies. Some people will use maybe a spiritual leader, so somebody they don't have a relationship with necessarily. But some other people might choose somebody that has helped them or made a big difference in their life. So you can just bring this being to mind and feel, how does that feel in your body? There may be no change. There may be a really subtle change. Or there may be a nice feeling of warmth. Whatever it might be is perfectly fine. We're just noticing. And then to help support our intention of cultivating loving kindness while having this lovable being in mind, you can repeat silently these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. There's nothing particularly magical about these phrases. You're welcome to modify them. Use words that might resonate with you, that are meaningful for you. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You might check in with the body and see if there is a little bit more ease, spaciousness, warmth. If there is, can you allow it to get as big as it would like? If it isn't, that's perfectly fine. But if there is a growing sense of maybe warmth or ease, use that to support you, to nourish you, to nurture you, as we do this loving kindness practice. So again, bringing a lovable being to mind. And saying the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. So can we expand our loving kindness? Use this as a foundation and expand it to include ourselves. Of course, we need to include ourselves in loving kindness. So we'll do this in the same way. Some people like to bring a mental image of themselves to mind. Could be how they are today, how you are today, or maybe a younger version of yourself. Some people even like to do when they were even toddlers. They find that endearing and it's easier to connect. Or you can tap into or tune into the felt experience of being here now. That might be the pressure of the chair against your body or something like that. So use whichever is the most accessible for you. And then check in with the body again. And see if there's been a shift, and maybe there's been a little bit of a contraction or maybe a little bit of an opening. Can you allow the movement towards opening, relaxing, softening, warming? And then we just modify the phrases by changing the pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Again, you're welcome to modify these phrases, ones that might be meaningful for you. Again, the guideline is to keep it simple. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. It can be helpful to supplement or augment our loving kindness meditation with a little bit of equanimity practice. So for this practice, bring to mind somebody that you care about, but sometimes does that thing that irritates you a little bit. So, not the most difficult person in your life, but somebody that you have warm wishes for, but is just mildly annoying or something like this. Bring this person to mind. And for this, we'll use a different phrase. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your decisions for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your decisions for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. So in the last few minutes of this meditation, you're welcome to do that practice which seems like it would be the most supportive, the most nourishing right now. In this session, we did mindfulness of breathing, loving kindness for a lovable being, loving kindness for oneself, and a little bit of equanimity practice. What feels like would be the right thing for you to do? Just for these next few minutes. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. It can be a really supportive part of practice to kind of like integrate and connect with our experience to talk about it. Sometimes we find ourselves saying things that we didn't even know that we knew. So for this reason, I'm going to put you all into breakout groups, into small groups of three people. And it's just an opportunity to talk about what your experience was like. There's absolutely no need to share your deep, dark secrets or anything like this. And it's perfectly fine. You may say, you know what, I slept the whole time. I'm not even quite sure what we're supposed to be doing. Or you can be saying, you know what, I think I got enlightened during there, right? The whole range. It can be anything and everything there. We just ask that there's no need to give advice to one another. It's just an opportunity to connect and share a little bit what that was like. And so this will be maybe like 9 minutes, 8 or 9 minutes. So it's not a long time. So just say a little bit. There's no need to go into a big, long story about anything. And it's more for you to just kind of connect with yourself in some kind of way. So let me see here. While I quickly ask Zoom to do this for us. Okay. So for those of you who haven't done this, I'm going to click this button and then zoom, you're going to go off and then you'll be in a little room with just two or three other people. And then I'll call you back. You'll get a little message and you'll automatically be sent back here. Okay. Have fun. Bye. Okay. Well, welcome back. Thank you for joining me in this happy hour as we're kind of pioneers, right, in this new era and this new way of connecting and practicing together. It's 7 o'clock here in California, so I want to respect everybody's time. So I'll let you go. And then also I'll stay here for a little bit if people want to hang out and ask me questions or chat or give me some feedback about how that went or something like that, then I'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, I wish you all a wonderful evening and please take good care of yourself. Thank you. I see people smiling as they're signing off. That's a good sign.
I would love to say something to Jonathan Cohen when, but he's muted at the moment and I don't see his name.
No, I'm right here.
You are? Are you the same Jonathan Cohen who was involved in the New Israel Fund years ago?
I'm sorry, in the what?
I guess you weren't. There was the Jonathan Cohen from the 70s, I knew.
I was in the 70s.
Okay. Were you involved with the founding?
Maybe, Susan, you can like send him a private chat or something so that all of us
find him. Okay. Here. And thank you, Diana.
Yes.
That was so beautiful and so nice and so calming.
Great.
Yeah. Especially after feeling so angry the past couple of hours.
Nice.
Very angry.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Diana, how
yes.
do you make a donation on here?
I'm sorry?
How do you make a donation?
Oh, yeah. I think you can go to the IMC's donation page, so insightmeditationcenter.org. And when you go there, you for teacher, you can put in my name or just for IMC itself. So,
for teacher. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'll be listed, or do I have to put your name?
You have to type it in.
Okay.
I changed my name. I used to be IMC Zoom One. I changed my name, so now I'm Diana Clark.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So much.
You're welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Anybody else have a question or a comment or like to...
Yeah, I've got a quick question.
Yes, Barry.
Somebody advised me that meditation was really good for building concentration, but I don't understand how it would. I'm probably not maybe doing it right or something, but how is that? Do you think that that's true? And if so, how does that work?
Yes, it absolutely is true. That and part of it is, for example, if we had just stayed with doing loving kindness for the lovable being, and you just repeat these phrases over and over and over again, then the mind just starts to collect and kind of get settled around those phrases. And so it's a way in which we can the mind gets settled. Did she disappear?
No, I'm still
there. Oh, no, she's there. She's sorry. You came off of my screen. So, and I would say classically in the Buddha's time that loving kindness meditation was used a lot as a concentration. So it's just not only the bringing the mind back with those phrases, but saying the phrases has a little bit of a rhythm to it. And that rhythm kind of helps the body and the mind to settle down too. So, and then with settling, then the mind, it's easier for the mind to land and stay. So it's kind of like a calming and tranquilizing. And then as well as, just the repetition is so much about concentration. It's just kind of repeatedly coming back to, what we're doing. So loving kindness is a great way to do some concentration practice.
So is that like a mantra?
Um, It can be. In some ways, it's related to a mantra, and the way that a mantra, right, doesn't necessarily have meaning to somebody. I mean, the word mantra is used in all kinds of different ways. Sometimes it's used just like as a sound, and yes, it could be related to that. But it's a little bit different, and that loving kindness has with it this intention to kind of like open and soften the heart. And that movement, that opening and softening, coupled with some tranquilizing, is part of the recipe for concentration. I forgot to mention that when I was Barry, that another reason why loving kindness helps with concentration is because a certain amount of relaxation and ease is definitely required to get concentrated. And sometimes loving kindness helps us to just feel a little bit more easeful, a little bit easier to get concentrated.
Hi, Diana.
Hi, Patricia.
Patricia, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Long time no see.
Yeah,
so happy that not so happy this happened, but at least I'm happy that you're offering the Zoom, and then I can be in your sitting, because usually Wednesdays I'm not available, as I told you. So there's always silver lining, right? So I want to ask you a quick question. I want to start doing a loving kindness practice for a difficult person in my life. So I always kind of start with the easy person, like you say, and then I don't follow through to go to the difficult person, and it's overdue. So should I do it every day? I forgot what you said, or because I feel like I used to do something similar to this practice years ago, and back then they said to do it for, I don't know, 21 days, whatever the thing was. Is there anything you recommend, or... Because I want to have like a little system, or I'm not going to get to it.
Yeah. So I recommend start where it's easy, start where it's easy, start where it's easy. And then really get the hang of it where it's easy. So often, right, it's with a lovable being, a kitten, a puppy, a teacher, you know, somebody who's important to us. And then kind of get the mind and the heart just inclined that way. So it just becomes easier and easier. Mm-hmm. And it feels like a good feeling, and you feel like you can be saturated with loving kindness. And in order to get to that part of being saturated, it's really helpful to start where it's easy. Okay. This may mean doing it every day. This may mean doing it every day for weeks, for months, a year, I don't know how long, but once you really have this sense of loving kindness where it's easy, then it's much easier to do it with a difficult person and then to expand it. I applaud that you want to do this with a difficult person. It's a great way to maybe work with difficulties in our lives, but it's really effective if we have started where it's easy and that we can and then apply it in different places.
Okay. Well said. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay, I gotta get going. Thank you so much.
Yes.
For your happy hour. I loved it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Night. Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you, Diana. That was super sweet, and I really enjoyed it. And I've never been to one of your meditations before, so thank you.
Oh, thank you, Kate. Thank you.
I just want to say thank you also. I've been listening online occasionally for a couple of years now, and it's really wonderful to get to participate together. I live in New York, and I was sharing, I'm part of a small spiritual practice group, and I was sharing about your approach of starting where it's easy and starting loving kindness with a lovable being first. And no one else in my group had known about that before, and everyone found that really helpful. So it was so great to be able to share that and here this evening.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you very much. And my heart goes out to you guys out there in New York. Wow, it's tough out there. So thank you and it's late. Wow, it's 10 o'clock out there. So thank you.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
Yes, you too. You too. Okay, so maybe we'll call it an evening. So thank you very much for joining me. And next week will be Nikki, and then I'll be coming back the week after that. So thank you very much.